Most months when I start planning the Rosh Chodesh seminar, it's very obvious to me what I want the speakers to speak about. You know, if it's Adar, if it's Kislev, it's very clear. There's certain topics that they should be speaking about. But when we get to Cheshvan, right, after you have that whole whirlwind month of Tishrei with so much going on in it, right, and we didn't even get to talk about it so much because we were all in shul on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, you know, we have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Simchas Torah, there's so much, and then all of a sudden you get to Cheshvan, and there's just nothing. It's just a month of, like, nothing. There's nothing to talk about. You know, why would anyone even want to come to a Rosh Chodesh seminar about Cheshvan? Like, what is there to really talk about on Cheshvan? Okay, so she already has an idea. Maybe you cheated by looking at the topics. right, and in fact, really, this is reflected in the name of the month. Okay, the original name of the month was actually, if you look in your source sheet, in source one, is this really on? Yeah? Okay, so in source one, if you look in Melachim, it says, V'shana achat esrei b'yerech bul hu ha-chodesh ha-shmini. So we're not going to talk about what happened, but in the month of Bul, which is the eighth month, and Rashi explains, what's yerech bul? Hu mar cheshvan. The eighth month, if you count it out from Nisan, you could all do it in your head, the eighth month is the month of Cheshvan, or Mar Cheshvan. Why was it called Bul originally? So there's a few different answers that are given. He says here, She'esev bala basadeh, the grass withered up, it decayed in the field. I also saw somewhere else, right, that the aleha ilan novlim, right, all the leaves, you know, all start to decay. Ubolulin labehima min habayit, and we have to then feed the animals from the home. They don't have any food. There's no grass out there. The leaves are decaying, and so we have to feed them. So that root of bul is both naval, right, to wither up, bala, and also bolulin, to feed them. Okay, so basically, this is a month of decay, destruction. The leaves are withering up. The grass is turning brown, right? It's a kind of like a depressing month. And then the other thing that I saw, if you look in source three, in the Breishit Rabbati, it says, Mahu b'yerech bul, what happened in the month of bul? Mabul chaser mem. Okay, bul is from the root of mabul. Okay, and the mabul actually began on the 17th of Cheshvan, and the waters didn't actually recede until the following Cheshvan, the 27th of Cheshvan. So here we have, what is this month of Mar Cheshvan, which is really called bul? It's a month of decay, destruction. The flood, right? It's a very kind of depressing type of month. And when Bnei Yisrael went down to Bavel, they adopted the name Mar Cheshvan. Okay, so what does Mar Cheshvan mean? So the Sefer HaTodah, if you look in source number 2, it says, V'nikra Mar Cheshvan. Right, we always think that the Mar was really added on. It's really one word, Mar Cheshvan. It was called Mar Cheshvan. Tam echad mipnei shebachodesh zeh ein shum yom tov ve'ein bo simcha. It's a month of nothingness. There's no holidays. There's no happiness. It's just this blah, depressing month, right? It's a bitter month. We always have Shabbos, right? But, you know, we get used to it. We have Shabbos every week, but there's nothing exciting, right? There's nothing happening that we can look forward to. And the Pri Chadash also says that it's based on the word mar. If you look in Yeshayahu, in source number 4, there's a pasuk that says, Hin goyim kemar midli. The nations, all the other nations, are like amar midli. And the Rashi explains, what does that mean? Halo klum hein lefanav. The nations are like nothing before Hashem. Kemo hatipa midli. Like a drop of water in a whole bucketful. So the word mar means like a raindrop. Which, though as Israelis now we're trained to like really appreciate the rain, right? We're supposed to like jump for joy when we see rain. But we know like a rainy day is really a dreary day. So what do we get from this? We just see like this month of... It's a boring, bitter, dreary month. It doesn't sound very positive, right? So what's the message we're supposed to get from Cheshvan? And why Dafka does this month come right after Tishrei, which is so chock full of holidays, and then we get to Cheshvan and there's nothing? What's the point? What do we get from there? So Rav Hirsch has a very beautiful explanation, and he says, if you look in source 5, he says, Mar Cheshvan has no other message for us except that after a month of such an abundance of special days, we should start out on the everyday path of Jewish life. However, it is the routine of everyday life which reflects our true existence, preceding and following those festivities from which they receive their value and significance. Okay, so he says basically, that's exactly the point. right? We have a month of a tremendous inspiration and amazing things that are going on, and then we have a month of ordinary, a month of regular daily life, and that's really where we put things into practice, right? Tishrei is where we get that inspiration, and Cheshvan is where we take all that inspiration and we apply it to our regular everyday lives. Yes? I don't know. I don't think so, but everyone has said it was. Now it's working. I just got to hold it closer. Okay, thank you. Okay, so did you hear anything until now? All right, and he basically has this whole mahalich where he explains that, you know, what's the spiritual high of the year? Where are we at our highest point? Yom Kippur. At what point of Yom Kippur? Ne'ilah. Okay, if we're really there, right, if we're, you know, we've done it right, so we've gone through an entire day, we're spending the whole day davening, we're so close to Hashem, we're totally removed from everything physical, and we get to Ne'ilah, and we're just so close to Hashem. Okay, so that's our pinnacle, that's where we're at, but that's not how we live our daily lives. We can't live like that. It's a one-time thing. And then from there, we have to know, what do we do from there? How do we take that and then bring it down into our lives? And so it's this gradual progression. He says, from there we go into Sukkot. Right? And Sukkot is, you know what? It's a very more material holiday, right? We eat a lot of meals. We have a lot of simcha, but it's all within the confines of what? The sukkah. Okay, so we can have this very physical existence, but it's within the confines of a mitzvah. You know, you can have, you know, you can be doing a mitzvah 24 hours a day if you just stay in that sukkah, right? You can do whatever you want in there, but you're doing a mitzvah because you're in that sukkah. You're surrounded by mitzvah. And then we get to Shmini Atzeret. What happens on Shmini Atzeret? There's no mitzvah, right? There's no mitzvah. I mean, we combine it with Simchas Torah, so we feel like there's a lot going on, but there's really no mitzvah of Shmini Atzeret. But yet, we're still in a chag, right? We have that glow of a chag. Okay, so we're basically slowly translating down. We had that burst of inspiration. Now, how are we going to bring that into our regular lives when we don't have that inspirational moment? So we're kind of weaning ourselves off of it. And we get to Isru Chag. What's Isru Chag all about? Right, for us, it's just like a day where the kids have off and the parents have to go to work, right? But it's supposed to be, right? It's a day where we're kind of lingering. We still have that, like, taste of chag we still have that taste of chag, but we are slowly getting back into regular life, okay? And at each moment, we're kind of testing ourselves. Where did we go? You know, we had all those resolutions, and we felt so high on Yom Kippur, and we're like, wow, this year is going to be different, and we're going to be different people. And then where do we take that? And so slowly, as we're getting out of the exciting, spiritual, elevated moments, can we maintain that commitment, okay? And then we get to Cheshvan, and Cheshvan is the real test. What's going to happen now? Now there's nothing, okay? We don't have any special mitzvah, special chagim. We don't have any, you know, obviously we have shops. We have a lot of mitzvah, but we don't have anything specific that's bringing us up there. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to be able to follow through? Everything that we felt we were going to do on Yom Kippur, are we able to take that into our regular lives and actually apply it? And he rehearses that we can actually see that also in the root of the word cheshvan. We saw before all the depressing meanings of bul and cheshvan, but he says cheshvan, right, in source number 6, The stem syllable chashu itself indicates silence and quiet. Okay, the word chash means to have quiet. This is the characteristics of the month of Cheshvan, which follows directly the festive celebrations of the month of Tishrei. Cheshvan, in contrast to Tishrei, gives an impression of stillness and entrance into quiet private life. A Jew has to serve Hashem well in his quiet private life. Okay, we're not a religion of, you know, all these spiritual epiphanies and, you know. No, it's a religion of trying to bring all that into our regular life. In the quiet of our regular private life, how are we acting? What are we doing? So in Hanakat HaAdam, which is a book of Chassidut, talks it and has another root of the word Mar Cheshvan. Okay, it says Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, Adayin Merachshin, but he doesn't say focus on the word Mar. From Mar Cheshvan, we get Merachshin Tzvatav Batvila. Okay, he is still, what happens in Cheshvan, we're still kind of humming all the tunes of the davening of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We're kind of still like chewing over all that we've experienced. We're still digesting it and bringing it into our regular lives. And this happens dafka in this rainy, dreary season. Okay, because Rav Hirsch writes over here, when the storms roar and the fields freeze and the flowers slumber, Israel celebrates its atzeres. Okay, here he's talking about Shmini Atzeret, but again, we saw in his progression that we can also apply this to Cheshvan. and proclaims everywhere anew that its true survival, its true joyfulness in the midst of our histories, nocturnal terrors and tribulations, derives solely from the Torah, its eternal national treasure. So Dafka, in the time where we feel like things are starting to decay and be destroyed and we're a little bit depressed, that's in that moment is the moment where we're trying to take that inspiration and apply it to our lives. Specifically at a time when the physical world, the natural world, becomes a little darker and more foreboding, we celebrate Shmini Atzeret and also Cheshvan. The light of the Torah should radiate the Simcha of Sukkot, and the light of the Torah should radiate our daily lives as we enter the long winter. We kind of got our spiritual recharge, and we have to take that and like let it bring us through the months of the winter. Now, this message of learning to grow in our Avodas Hashem, not only through the bursts of inspirational moments, but also in the ordinary days, day-to-day life, is also a message of Rosh Chodesh. Okay, because on Rosh Chodesh, what do we celebrate? Not a big miracle, not some, you know, supernatural thing that happens. We don't celebrate even like an eclipse or a meteor shower. No, what are we celebrating? The moon. The moon is the most boring, you know, it just has a very set routine, does exactly the same thing every single month. It goes through the same path. It gets exactly the same size at every single day. You can chart it, right? But it's teaching us a message, right? It's about being slow and methodical and progressing slowly. And it doesn't. And these are the steps of growth that are real and lasting. If we look at the moon and we see how slowly it grows, not with just some crazy, you know, we had this amazing and spiritual experience, but no, with those slow steps of that slow progression of growth. And that's the model that we need to take from the moon and also from this whole concept of bringing in the month of Cheshvan. And so we should be able to take this vital message of the moon and of Cheshvan and take real steps to apply inspiration into our lives. So basically, not to forget about everything that happened in Tishrei and all those, you know, amazing, whatever, you know, everyone had that moment in time during their davening where they just felt that connection to Hashem and that feeling of, I want to get to somewhere else, I have a goal, to not forget about it, but to try to bring it into our lives. Now, today's seminar actually marks the end of our first year of seminars. We've gone through every single month. How many people have been here for every single month? Anyone? We give you a prize if you're here every single month. okay, so this is the end of the whole first year. And I really want to take a moment, first of all, to thank all of you for coming and participating and for all your words of support and encouragement. It's really been an amazing year. I also wanted to thank all the staff who are not in here right now, but to Ricky and Chana and Yaffa for all their help, logistics and registration and everything. And also to the Brachlel family, who are not here yet either, but for their generous support of the program. And it should be really in Eloy Aliyah for the neshama of their daughter, Marat Chaya Sasha, about Rav Yosef Hillel. Both the past year of seminars and for the continuation of the next year, it should really continue to be a beautiful tribute to her.